Welcome to the show. On today's episode, we have Emmy Hernandez. She's an executive level love and relationship coach, international speaker, workshop facilitator, and author. Emmy is also the author and host of her column, Ask Emmy Anything, dedicated to answering your questions about love, soulmates, and romantic myths. Fluent in both English and Spanish, Emmy speaks at conferences, organizations, businesses, and universities around the world. Emmy graduated from UC Berkeley with a degree in communications and is certified in NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, Superconscious Recodes, and Male versus Female Brain Communications. In this episode, we're going to be talking about relationships, and it's going to get really fun. So this is just a great episode. I don't care if you're single, dating, married for 100 years. This is a fun episode, so please enjoy. Welcome to the Kakatibi Podcast, your source for all things health, happiness, and beauty. Hi, Emmy. Thank you so much for being with us here today.
Hi, Kat. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited.
So let's just start and get right into it. So tell us a little bit about your journey and the why and the how that you became a relationship coach.
Yes, the story is very long, but I'll give you the short version and a little bit of the journey that I had to go to get on there. Long story short is I'm super Type A, overachiever, 4.2 student, and I graduated from high school, went off to college, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to be successful forever and ever, like just get my first job and everything's fantastic. And life didn't go that way. I had a very hard I graduated right at the peak of the crash in 2008. I was one of the lucky ones that got a job. We can call it lucky. And then I felt like I didn't have life purpose after that because it was always that next level. Then I had nothing else. So for a really long time, I was trying to, I didn't find fulfillment. And I was jumping around from job to job, from what felt like career to career. And during this time, I had already been diagnosed at 16 from an autoimmune disease where I was allergic to my own intestines. So basically, when I was awake, I lived in anxiety 24/7, and that created a lot of acid in my solar plexus. So I never had acid reflux. It wouldn't come up. It would just stay at the bottom of my esophagus, and it was very painful. So it got to the point when I was at the end of college where I was taking about 22 painkillers a day, which were really bad because I found out later that the pump inhibitors I was taking, that you're only supposed to take about two a day, if that, ladies, 22 was way overkill, but it was the only thing that would mediate my attack. And then I started waking up in my own pools of blood. I was bleeding through my nose in my sleep because the pills I were taking were anticoagulants. So started to get super dangerous. And that led me to my first journey of learning about my health. And throughout this time, I had some boyfriends in college and it wasn't anything serious because I always thought I had so much time. And after I graduated from college and went off to my professional life, I figured, okay, it's now time to find my husband. I grew up in a very traditional Mexican household. And all my family was like, my mom got married super old at 24, according to her and her generation. So I thought that was the latest I could get married at 24. So it turns out 24 came and went, 25, 26, 27, and I was almost 30. And I started to panic because by then I was like, something's wrong with me. I'm broken. And as you ladies know, if you don't know, that's not true. You're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. But I had to go on a healing journey of figuring out what was it that was holding me back from my true nature and what I wanted, true love. I wanted soulmate love. And I did get into a lot of really bad relationships. It was like I was the common denominator. It was one after another. And I was like, what is going on here? So once I realized, I took accountability of, hey, I'm doing something wrong here because I keep attracting the same guy, different name, different face. So eventually I went on that journey. So I did my health journey, got better, wrote a book about it. And then I went on soulmate love journey because it was one of the things that I desired the most in my life was to have a fulfilling relationship. I hoped they existed because I didn't see it anywhere around. But eventually, after the long journey there and learning about quantum physics and learning about health and bringing my body into my core and learning about my essence and feminine energy and what that took, then I attracted the love of my life, my soulmate. Matt and I got married 2 weeks ago, actually. So we're newlyweds. And so 2 years after we started dating, I realized there were a lot of women asking me like, hey, how did you meet Matt? They always thought it was like the how we met, like the location. And we met on Bumble, by the way. But it's not the app that that makes the man or the woman. So I started just helping my friends with that coaching process. And that turned into a professional business. And in 1 year, I brought on so many VIP clients and so many group clients that I closed $300,000 in revenue in 12 months. So the business grew so fast, so much so that we actually start filming in 3 weeks a new TV show. I'm not allowed to say what network it's on yet, but Hollywood came knocking on my door because they want to know my methods and how I get results for my clients.
Wow, that's quite the story. So before we really get into it, I wanted to tell you a little bit about me. So I just want to say I love dating. I was very good at it, of course. I took a little trial and error at the beginning. You're terrible at it. You do all the wrong things. And then you're like, why isn't this working? And then once I just completely said, I don't care. I'm just going to do whatever I want. I'm just going to, if I don't want to do something, I'm not doing it. I'm not pretending. I'm not like changing who I am or walking on eggshells. Or if something's not perfect, I'm just walking away. And then suddenly it was like everybody wanted to marry me at once. And then it's just, oh, okay. So then you're just like in abundance and you're like, oh gosh, there's so many options. Which one do I choose? Mm-hmm. And that's what I want for everyone. That's the best situation to be in. Once you're in that situation, you know that no matter what happens, you'll be fine. You're no longer worried. Is he cheating? Because you're like, I can replace him. They're knocking down the door. And then you're just like, ah, stress-free. The relationship is taken care of in the bag. So let's get that for everybody. Okay, when it comes to your love life, people just don't invest in it. So why should we be investing in our love lives?
Yeah, you know what I have found? That I used to think that people didn't invest in their love lives, but believe it or not, people invest a lot more in their love life than you realize, especially women. We tend to either find the book or listen to the podcast or watch that movie. So think of it as every time we watch a rom-com or another teen movie, that's time invested. So we do invest in it, whether we like to think that we do or not. And the clients that come to me because they're at their wit's end. So they're very successful. So they're like, I got my career ready. And like my career is like through the roof. I'm making good money. My financial investments are doing well. Like I've traveled the world. I got all these things. It's just the love isn't working. It doesn't mean men don't come around or other women. Like I'm all for everybody love. So, but I tend to focus on the male female because that's just, that's what I'm an expert in because that's the relationship I'm in, but I support everyone. But when the women are coming to me, they're coming to me because they thought, I was taught this was just supposed to happen because that's what I was taught. Like you focus on everything else and then love's just supposed to happen. And the truth of the matter is, honey, baby, you didn't become successful in anything that you're doing right now, whether you went to college, whether you built up your business to millions, whatever it is, whether you learned how to ride a bicycle, it requires focus and intention and attention. And yes, some people marry their high school sweethearts. Are they actually happy? Like, I'm not here to help people just get married. It's not about the marriage certificate. It's about finding that partner that fits with your lifestyle and you fit with them. You just fit together. It's easy and it's fun. It's fulfilling. It brings out the playful side in you. You bring that out in each other. You bring out the competitive spirit. Let me describe what competitive spirit. You don't compete against each other ever. You don't feel the need to. You compete to find out how to make the other one smile on a regular basis. You're always making sure that you want the best for the other person. And that's the level of relationship that I create with my clients because it's not just, I'm not a dating coach. I help my clients go through dating and they get really good at it, but I'm not there to help someone go through the dating. In fact, I turn clients away all the time when they come to me and they tell me, oh yeah, I already did all that work that you're talking about. Yeah, that's all good. Just help me go through the dating process. Just set up my profile. I'm sorry, I can't. They're like, wait, what do you mean? And I turn you away, and here's why. Because there's a lot of work that needs to be done internally and healing. There's a lot of ancestral trauma that we have. There's a lot of womb trauma that we have that gets passed down through the DNA from all the sexual assault that the women before us experienced. That comes down into us. All the shame around sex or lack thereof, all that gets passed down. I have never met a woman, and I'm sure they exist, but they're far and few in between, that have never been sexually assaulted, molested. I was molested by a family member when I was 4 years old. Right. So I know there are a lot of women were raped. A lot of women have babies and were taught that it was their fault because they were wearing a skirt that was 1 inch above their knee. Like all that fucking bullshit. Like that stuff is stuck in our body and it creates, and it's also in our unconscious. And that level of programming we don't know is actually running our decisions for us. So that is the one that actually selects the partners that are bringing into your life. So you're like, why do I keep bringing in losers? Or why do I keep bringing in toxic guys? Like, it's because of the programming that is running in you unconsciously. So what I do is I don't work off of willpower. Okay. My clients do not have to trust on willpower. We do unconscious recodes. So I actually go in and give the unconscious mind new instructions to remove all the stuff that no longer serves them, so that they can actually bring in what they want, their true desires, instead of having to like be salmon going up against the stream, because that's exhausting. So if you're in experience now where dating is exhausting, there's something going wrong. There's resistance in the wrong way, babe, because dating should be fun and can be fun. And the dating process shouldn't have to be this like every time you go on another first date and it didn't work out and that's a failure. No, that wasn't a failure. You just got to know a little bit more about what you don't want and you got your clarity list of what you do want even stronger. So that's a success.
All right. So there's a lot there. So let's talk about, I know you mentioned ancestral trauma, all these things, and I definitely think I had that. My mom, her dad cheated on her mom. So my mom expected to be cheated on. And she kept saying, oh, you have to do this or he's going to cheat on you. Or if you don't do this for him, he'll cheat on you. And I'm just like, whoa, chillax. Calm down. It's going to be fine. And so what? If he cheats on me, he doesn't deserve me. And I replace him. Big deal. Like, why is that the worst thing in the world? So I had to fight her my whole life with that stupid thing she's trying to pass down of be afraid you have to cook and clean and be like a slave or something to a man so they don't cheat on you. And I'm like, no, opposite. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's just like, why are you stressing? It should be super like, you should be calm and relaxed about that. So I had to fight that. I don't know if I did it the right way or the wrong way, but I'm glad that I no longer feel that anxiety.
Good.
That's really devastating to people. But then I have girlfriends. They have loving parents that have been together for 40 years and they're wonderful. And then I see them bring these guys that are sketchy over and over again. And I'm like, you are smart, beautiful, successful, very successful. What is this? And then it's like the same thing. Oh, he cheated on me. Oh, he did this to me. Oh, he whatever. And it's the same thing again. So like for the people who I see that come from happy, successful relationship, what could have happened to them? Where did the programming get all messed up?
Yes. So that's a really good question because I actually see this a lot. And it's the same thing that happens with people who are extremely wealthy and then their kids fuck up everything with the money. So you're like, wait, what happened? But they had all the tools and all the resources. Because you're like, wait, like that doesn't make any sense. Same thing here. So what happens is that the programming that we think that we're only programmed from our parents, like what we see them do or what we see them do, and that's not true. The programming actually happens like thousands and thousands of years ago. And it gets passed down through many different ways. So one of the things that happens is especially, let's say, for example, this is very rare, by the way, for there to be an amazing, loving couple of that is like they exist, but then she's raised in that, right? Like the situation you gave me with your friend. What happens is because she saw how easy it was with her parents, she has no idea that there's something, that there is even something the matter with people who struggle. She's like, wait, but for her, it's easy to get a boyfriend. And yeah, it's so easy to get a boyfriend. But what happens is that because she thinks it's so easy and there's no need to filter, okay, ladies, proper intuition is proper judgment. Yes, I want you to judge people. They're not, everyone has good intentions for you. And because I have a friend like this, I love her to death, but she drives me insane because she's so generous of heart. She's just so, she trusts everyone. So she has zero filter, which means she has a zero compass to see and figure out who is actually good for her and who has good intentions with her and who has good intentions for a long-term future and not there to just take advantage of her. Most of the people that your friend is bringing along are there to just take advantage of her, either financially, sexually, emotionally, and then they're peace out. And then she's left completely heartbroken because she's like, what did I do? Technically, she didn't do anything wrong, okay? But she does have what we call a faulty picker, okay? And that just means that we need to strengthen her intuition. And my suspicion is that this isn't the only area of life where she does this. She does this at work, meaning she doesn't know how to say no at work. She just says yes to everybody and everybody takes advantage of her and she does everybody else's work. I'm like, oh, it's okay. It's just faster if I do it. She doesn't know how to delegate. She doesn't know how to use executive assistants. People like, because when we have an area of life where that kind of stuff happens, especially with relationships, it is very simple. I find with all of my clients that there are other areas of life where this sort of seeps into. So it's not just one area. So it causes the reverse effects. And I'm not telling you like, oh, then in that case, I don't want to have a loving relationship because then my kids will have the opposite. No, it requires some conscious conversations with them so you can help them then pick that with their partner. I had to do this actually with my siblings. I have a sister who's 15 years younger than me. And because of the relationship she sees that I have with my soulmate, she's like, oh, like that's easy. I'm like, wait, hold on. So I had to break it down and I had to tell her what I suffered and what I struggled and all the stuff, all the bad stuff that I went through and the bad guys. So she could be like, oh, okay, those kind of people exist. Oh yeah, honey, those people exist. I was kidnapped when I was 25 by my toxic ex-boyfriend. And I had already graduated. I was a smart, educated woman. That would never happen to me. Yes, it happened. He took over all my financial accounts. I lost my phone number at the time because he stopped paying my phone number. Like, it was just a bad situation. I went bankrupt because of him. So it's important to discuss with people all the bad stuff that happens when you don't have your intuition, when you don't know who you are. That's when that happens. Okay, when you don't know who you are yourself, you will attract all kinds of people into your life who will take advantage knowingly or unknowingly.
Yeah, I see that all the time. Can you tell us maybe some red flags that women should look out for? And I know you also said there's something called red flag patterns. Can you describe that a little bit?
Yes. So red flags. So there are a few red flags for what I call the toxic red flags, right? So the toxic red flags are when someone is potentially a toxic man or a narcissist, okay? And those red flags are somebody that does something called love bombing. What that means is they will love on you so much way too soon where you feel uncomfortable. Where you're like, wait, this is too much too soon. And they do that and they go overboard with asking you out on dates or texting you all day long and calling you and finding out, what are you doing and what are you up to? So at first it feels all good and you're like, oh, wow, like he really cares about me. But what's happening is he's trying to take control over your schedule. So a good example of a red flag of love bombing versus someone that is just interested in you. So someone that's interested in you and is courting you, okay, so there's a difference between pursuing you and courting you. So the first red flag, if someone is chasing after you and insists on getting a date after you say no, that is not romantic, honey. We've been taught in the movies that is romance. It is not. It is toxic. Why? That means they don't understand boundaries. If they don't understand boundaries now, honey, baby, he's not going to understand them later, okay? So that's one red flag. Anybody who will consistently chase after, you'll run far away in the other direction. Because eventually, their version, by the way, is, oh, I finally wore her down. What? Do you want to be with someone because they wore you down? Oh my God, no. So that's an example. And I started talking about the love bombing. So I'll give you an example of what my honey did versus toxic love. So there is a way of properly courting someone and then love bombing. So when Matt and I went out on our first date, we scheduled it through Bumble. We met at a public place, which is also always a requirement, ladies. Always meet at a public place. I don't care if it's someone you met on a dating app or even someone in person out in the world. Always meet in a public place, okay? So there's another red flag is men who will be like, oh, just come over to my place. And even if they're saying, come over to my place and we'll drive from here, no. Him offering to make you dinner or lunch or whatever for the first date, no. Huge red flag. Stay away. That is dangerous. Even if he, quote unquote, means no harm, especially if he says, oh, come on, I won't hurt you or I won't do anything weird, that by default means he's going to try to do something weird. Okay. So I'll show you what Matt did. Matt, we went out on our first date, and by the end of our first date, it was 8 hours long. We had a great time. He asked me if I was available in the next few days to take me out again, and I said, I'm actually available tomorrow. It's like, awesome. We went out again. After our second date, we loved it. He asked me when I was available again, and I told him I was going to be available in 2 days because I had a conference the next day, so I wasn't available that third date. And he was like, oh, awesome. Congrats. What's the conference about? So he went to learn more about my life. And then we had our date afterwards. Where would it have been bad? And I see this happen all the time, ladies. When you redo your schedule because a man insists to see you again. Ooh, huge red flag. So it's perceived as romantic if you really like someone and you're hanging out and you tell him, oh, look, I really have to go to work, or I really have yoga, or I have yoga, or you have something on your schedule that you have to go do. And he's like, oh, come on, cancel. Come on, wouldn't you rather hang out with me? Wouldn't you rather blah, blah, blah. All that stuff, that is love bombing, and that is toxic, ladies. So that is major red flags.
I love that you said that because that totally reminds me. Okay, I have a bunch of friends that they have a lot of problems with relationships, not getting them. But once they're in them, they give up their whole lives. Ugh. They give up their friendship. They don't have any hobbies anymore. They don't have anything going on. And they become like they think it's romantic to do all that stuff and to be of service or something like that to their boyfriend or husband or whatever. But what ends up happening is eventually, if you have that behavior, even if he's not a narcissist, he's not a narcissist, but you're still doing this, he's gonna get bored because you're not a full person. There's nothing there to talk about. It's just you're talking about him. Maybe you're talking about your kids and you don't have friends. You don't have hobbies. You don't do anything. What are you interested in? Nothing. That's it. So they come home and you're like, the kids did this. How was your day? How was your day? And it's, you don't have anything to add to that anymore because you're just like blank. And then they're like, why is he cheating on me? And I'm like, he's not always a narcissist when he cheats on you because you're just nothing. And he's telling you, like, why don't you have a hobby? Why don't you have friends? Why don't you have anything? I want to be with someone where I can have conversations with, like, more in depth. So that's another thing that I want you to go over once you're in the relationship.
Oh, yes.
And you lose yourself.
Oh, girl. Whew. We spend a lot of time talking about this. We spend so much time on this, and which is why in my courses and in the clients that come with me, we spend a lot of time prepping you with what lights you up, what makes you feel like a goddess. So what lights you up sexually, first of all, right? So I have the ladies explore what they like and what they don't. Why is it important to do all that before your person comes along? Because you need to keep doing those things when he comes along. You do not just all of a sudden, like you said, like it breaks my heart when I see women start a new relationship and they disappear. Like, it's okay if you disappear like the first weekend or two because you're like, you know, 24/7 having sex or whatever. That's okay. But if you disappear from your family, from your friends, from your hobbies, from everything, you're right. Not only will like you yourself will get bored, but if you're making him priority above anything else, then that's wrong because we have to make ourselves priority. If our cup is not full, we have nothing to share with our partner. That's just horrible. So we need to continue to do activities that light us up. Because here's the thing, ladies, the thing that attracts him the most to you in the first place is that you are lit up, that you are radiant, that you are the strong, independent woman, that you don't need him, but you want him. You choose him. He wants to be chosen because he chooses you. So that energy needs to continue. And the only way for that to continue is for you to do things separately from him, to have your girl brunches, to have your yoga, to have your boxing night, to have your soul sister circle, to have your weekend trips with girlfriends, whatever it is that lights you up on your own without him, you're going to come back more filled and fulfilled to bring to the relationship. It's not even just the conversation. It's about your radiance from within because you're happy on your own. And the situation that happens when women give up their lives and they completely lose themselves with their partner and their kids is the following. When you are now using your partner and or your kids to make you happy, that is a death sentence. Nobody, hear me now, honey. Nobody else can make you happy. We alone are responsible for our happiness. Our partner can only magnify. Your children can only magnify your happiness. Do not put that responsibility on anyone else because you will live a miserable life.
Yes, thank you. Let's talk about energies. So yes. I have a very, in my opinion, I don't know, you tell me. I have a very masculine energy, in my opinion. I am very dominant in relationships. I am more of the protector. If a car is coming, I get in front of my husband. I don't care. I'm just, no. Like, he is mine. And I'm very, like that about him. And he is the opposite. He is a guy. He's definitely a guy's guy, but he's very nurturing and he's caring and he does more of like feminine type of traits in that respect. So tell us a little bit about energy and dynamics in relationships.
Yes. So I'm so glad you brought that up. So I go over a lot around masculine, feminine energy and relationships and how it has to work. So think of it's just science. It's actually, this is where we remove the judgment from it. Every battery has a plus and minus. Every magnet has a plus and minus side. So you can't, there's a side of the magnet where if you put another one to it, it will repel it. Yeah. And then the other side will attract to it. That's the same thing with relationships. So think of a side of a magnet of feminine, masculine energy. And by the way, this doesn't matter if you're gay, lesbian, LGBTQ, the feminine, masculine, feminine energies are just like a scientific basis on a battery, plus and minus. You can't have a plus and a minus. That really won't work. Okay. So this is gender neutral. Okay. So feminine and masculine energies. And yeah, I think you're pretty spot on. And here's the funny part is that we can change our energies. We're actually pretty great at that. Women, we can shift our energies from masculine and feminine like that. Men don't really have that power unless there's like somebody's life is on the line and they have to go in and save them or something like that. So I actually am in masculine energy right now. I can't coach or run my business from my feminine energy. So I have two ways of describing that for my ladies, because I think through a lot of people, it's confusing because they say, oh, feminine is female and masculine is male. Like, I don't want to be male. And so not the same. So in my company, which is why my company is called Duality of Athena, okay? So we discuss it in Athena and Aphrodite terms. They're both female goddesses, right, from the Greek era. However, Athena was a total badass in her own. Like, she was a goddess of war and wisdom. She is always posed with a little owl, a spear, and a shield. Like, she kicked butt. Like, she was Ares' sister, and Ares was the god of war, and he just destroyed everything. She didn't. When she went to war, she only killed the bad guys, okay? At least this is how she's portrayed in legend. She's also portrayed in legend, however, as a a virgin. She never took on a lover, okay? So that is Athena. But we need Athena. I need Athena. We all need Athena. But in our society right now, we use Athena a little too much. We rely on her a little too much because Athena is always going. We need Aphrodite as well. Aphrodite is the vulnerable one. Aphrodite was the goddess of love and pleasure. Okay. Men would do things at her beck and call, at her whim, not because she manipulated them, but because she knew how to ask. She knew how to ask consciously, authentically and vulnerably. And that's what I help my ladies step into. So we need any relationship in order for it to succeed, whether it's male, female, or whatever other derivation, you need to have the energies shifting and they need to be complementary towards each other. They can never be the same. How do I describe this to people? I'm an alpha in my own right. Matt is also an alpha, but we don't need to be an alpha in the same room at the same time. Does that make sense? Okay. When he comes home, I'm safe. We're good. And I'm not coaching anymore. I'm done. I get to be the fun, playful, vulnerable one. I go into what I call my state, shenanigans Emmy. I choose to step into shenanigans Emmy and run to him and have him hold me tight. Like we've been going on 4 years of every single day. I run to him when he comes home because that allows me to step into all's good, all dandy. Like, I can just sit and breathe and be vulnerable with him. Okay. Because if not, I'm going to stay with my spear in my hand and look for people to jab at. Okay. So it's a conscious spiritual costume change that I have to do. And I teach my ladies to do as well. So if you're saying that you tend to be more masculine and your husband takes on more of the feminine traits, that's why it works, right? It wouldn't work if your husband wanted to do more of the masculine traits and he didn't, you guys would always be arguing and fighting, right? One of the things I will advise and caution some of my ladies who think they live in this masculine sort of like body is that most of us at our core are very feminine, but we've had to use masculine masks to survive in society, to say F you to people messing us over in certain careers. So and if you're feeling exhausted right now, that's why, because you're spending too much time in your masculine and we need to step it back and have you step more into your feminine. And then there is a way to have your husband step up and take over some more of the masculine traits, because for men, they don't get exhausted the way we do. Their adrenal glands, by the way, that sit on top of their kidneys are way larger than they are in women. Okay. So that's why we get adrenal fatigue, aka burnout. We end up in the hospital way faster. And they have something called higher testosterone levels, right? So we have that too. But hormonally, we are messing ourselves up because estrogen is not designed to work with adrenaline. Testosterone is. That doesn't mean anything is wrong with us. We're just designed that way. We're designed that way for a reason. I'm going to tell you why. We make way more money. We bring in way more abundance, way more love, way more. We can bring in all of our desires, all of our manifestations way better from our feminine energy than from our masculine, because that's not how we are designed. We are not designed like that with the universe. So if you're finding yourself to be super exhausted, I would encourage you to explore a little bit. What does it mean to step into your feminine? What does that look like? And we can talk more about that later, but I don't want to make this whole conversation about that. But that is the reason most women are exhausted in this society, because we're taught that you have to like go get it to be that millionaire woman. And girl, I'm all for that. I'm just not doing it the way the male teachers and coaches do it. I do it the way I learn how to do it. And I'm teaching my other female students how to do the same. And we make the money way faster, way quicker without doing any of the pushy sales stuff. I do not respond to pushy sales tactics, and neither do all of the women who want to come work with me. So that's why my business has grown so much, because it's like, hey, if this works well for you and it's divine timing and it's the right fit, let's do this, babe. None of this, like all this scarcity and you have to do this now and trying to push somebody into signing up. That just doesn't work for me. And it feels off and it feels gross. And that's what we're taught. That's what it means to sell from the masculine perspective. And it's just a lose for everybody involved when you're running your business like that and when you're running your life like that.
Yeah. So I think you're specifically talking about that Gary Vee type. You got to go drive yourself into the ground, whatever. Maybe that'll work if you're a young guy. Maybe you won't burn out. Maybe. But if you're a girl, forget it.
Oh, yeah.
It's done. You're done. And it's really sad. That seems to be like the predominant thing that we're shown of successful people. They go, no sleep, no this, just work out harder, just do this, like everything. None of it is rest, recuperate, be calm, be vulnerable, all that stuff that you mentioned.
Correct.
So yeah. I like that. I wanted to ask you, do you believe, I think you mentioned that you're an alpha, so you probably do. So you believe in the theory of the male dominance hierarchy, sigma male, alpha male, beta male, delta male, gamma male, omega male. Do you believe in all that?
You know what? I ascribe to a different philosophy around that. It's probably similar, but it's more around their life cycle instead of like just who a man is. So I actually learned my teachings from Alison Armstrong. And she actually describes her description of a man in his development as when they're little boys, they're paid. It's like the system back in the medieval times. So there's the elder, the king, the prince, the young prince, and the knight and the page. So I like that system better. And we don't have time here to go through the whole thing, but I highly recommend you find Alison Armstrong's book, Amazing Development of Men. I get no royalties from sending. It's the one book that I suggest so much to women, whether you're dating or you have a man in your life or you're a mother of a boy, you must read this book because you'll understand biologically how they're just wired to want to be strong, right? And the silly things that they do that are different from girls and different from women. So it helped me understand a lot more of the mindset with them. So that I ascribe to more of that. And when it comes to the other ladder that you described, I really only know and describe very briefly with my ladies, the alpha and the beta, not really any of the other ones, because it describes just like us as women, we're not the same woman we were 5 years ago. So it's not a stagnant state of mind or state of being. I think that's fluid. So depending on when people grow and what they learn to do with themselves or with their partner, that sort of state of being can shift and change. But I'd love to learn more about what you're bringing up, because that's not an area that I would say I'm an expert at.
Yeah, it's something I just came across and I thought it was so interesting, the different types. And I saw all my friends in each of them. I'm like, oh, okay, that's nice. But anyways, it's something we can look at on our own time. Anyways, so I know that you work with the very A-type, go-getter females in relationships. So what kind of guys would go-getter female be most compatible? What kind of traits would they need?
Yes. So I'm actually going to answer this first with the cautions, okay, of the type of men we tend to attract. When we're A-type, super go-getter, and we're living from our masculine, and we're dating from our masculine, you're going to attract the type of men that you think you like, but are the absolute worst for you. I'm going to explain to you why. Okay. This is a philosophy that I came up with. This is the modality that I teach. And here's the observation and the experience and all the data points that I have put together. When we date and come into love from the masculine perspective, aka when we basically read out our resume on our first date, okay, which I used to do, by the way, it was a sense of pride of, oh, I did this and I've accomplished that. And you'd think, oh, he's just intimidated by me. Here's the truth about it, ladies. The truth is we can only attract two types of men that way. Okay. When we're showing up from your masculine and you're the one wanting to open the door for him, like you take pride in that and you're not like just sitting back and allowing, right? Because the feminine receives, okay? If you're not allowing to just be taken care of and being courted, what happens is a healthy male, a potential healthy partner who wants to take care of you. Men want to take care of you, by the way, like it's in their biological nature to protect and provide. That doesn't mean, however, that we're just going to like sit back and be like, oh, you know, I'm just going to have a sugar daddy. Like most of us don't. We're like, yeah, no, I'm going to be my own sugar daddy. So that's not the type of male you want. However, you do want someone who's going to step in and take care of business when it needs to be taken care of. You don't want someone to just sit back and be like, oh, that's okay if you messed up our order 3 times in a row. Like, we'll just pay you extra. You'd be like, what? Excuse me? the two types of men that you will attract, this is non-negotiable. This is what you will attract. It's either one or the other. When we're coming from that Miss Independent, but only Miss Independent, like we have nothing else to offer, right? Like the masculine mode, when you're in that get shit done, basically bringing your work self to date, right? Your work self. You'll bring two men, two types. You will attract the opposite of the masculine, which is a super feminine, okay? And the super feminine man, those will gross you out. Those are the really nice guys that you come to me and you tell me, Emmy, God, I really wish I liked this guy. He's really like great, but I'm not attracted to him. Here's the thing, that a lot of these men are attractive, but they were raised to be mama's boys. And they don't have, you don't feel like they want, they have a pair of balls. And you want someone to take you and ravage you when you're in a relationship with someone. And you're just like, I feel like he would just be like my placemat. And he would let me, he lets people step all over. And he has got no backbone. And he's like, but he's such a good guy. And I'm like, I know, babe, but it's just, it's not going to work. So a lot of these women feel guilty because they're like, oh my God, I'm like, I get it. But that's his energy. That's not yours. So that's more what you're attracting. That's number one. The second one is the dangerous one. Okay. And all the women that I coach, it's one or the other, one or the other, one or the other, until I get them into the right energy for themselves. And then they're like, oh, okay. Then we bring in soulmate love. But here's the other one. And this is a super dangerous one. This is what you will attract: toxic, narcissistic men. Okay, these are the men that think the world revolves around them, but they won't say that and do that to you very early on. They will love bomb you, as I was describing earlier. So they will have you fall in love with them because they think they're tailoring their entire world to you. And once you fall in love with them, they start changing and they start blaming you for things that they did. And you start questioning your own sanity because you're like, wait, what? This? And then your light starts dimming. What do I mean by that? You become a shell of a woman. Okay. This breaks my heart. I lived that for 2 years and I see so many women live that. And until I help them break out of the trance, it's like a trance that we're in as part of that programming. So you might be saying, Emmy, you said the plus and the minus and the magnet and this and that. Like, how could I attract that super overly masculine dude if I'm in masculine, right? That doesn't make any sense. Let me explain. And let me tell you why narcissists and toxic men are extremely attracted to strong, independent women. Because they need to prove that they're more manly than you. Okay. So in order to prove that, they need to control you. And in order for them to be more manly than you, they need to diminish every single ounce of your being. And they do that by attacking your intellectual abilities. So it'll start with little jabs here and there, attacking your intelligence. And you let it slide until your friends will start saying, hey, did Joe just say blah, blah, blah. You're like, oh, he's just kidding around. You will start justifying his behavior to your friends. That's how it starts, ladies. And it's just downhill from there. Those are the men that you think will never physically harm you, but then they do. And trust, for those of you thinking, oh, that will never happen to me, I'm too smart for that. Oh, let me break it down to you. Some of the most intelligent women I have found, and the most successful are the ones who fall in this trap, because they will tend to attract and be like amused and feel starstruck by these super amazing guys who have the super great cars and the super successful careers. I'm not saying that all men who are successful and have those great cars are like toxic narcissists. Not at all. It's actually a small percentage of men who are like that. Very small percentage. They tend to just like bees to a hive, right? Because we're the strong women. So they will come into our life. To answer your original question, we're going to go back to what are the type of men that the strong, independent woman who knows how to step into her feminine essence and who knows how to be vulnerable when dating and with her partner. The type of men you're compatible with are the type of men who are so strong in their masculine energy and want to protect you and provide for you, but know that he knows that you are his equal in both intellectual capacity and financial capacity. And he knows you're a badass and he's proud of that. He's proud of that. He brags about you and he's a badass in his own right, but he never makes it about him. You are both in awe of each other, but you make each other priority. He brags about you. You brag about him. He is successful in his own right. Whatever it is that he does, he is happy and joyous. He doesn't sit there and complain about his life. If something's not going right, he does something about it. And he does something about it not by trying to turn and destroy everyone else. He recognizes, you know what? Did me wrong? They'll get taken care of. He might do a lawsuit, but he's not going to sit there and dwell and cry about it. Be like, you know what? That kind of sucked. That deal didn't go as well as I planned. You know what? I'm doing bigger and better things over here. And he's going to help you do the same thing with your business. So you either make the same amount of money he does, less or more. It doesn't matter. He will not feel emasculated because he knows, and you both know, that whatever it is that you guys do, you will do together. You build your empire together. You are no longer individual people, by the way. I don't believe in this whole, we just did our wedding ceremony and I had to go through and pick out some vows. This whole thing of now you are one, that's bullshit. Okay, there's no such, we are not fused into one person. You are both independent people with independent feelings and independent emotions, independent thoughts, but you are choosing to communicate with each other so that you can build an empire together because now you're a team. So you want, and you're most compatible with a man who knows that you're on the same team. When shit hits the fan, it's you and me against the world, baby, instead of you against me.
I love that. You're so insightful. That's exactly how I feel. And I have dated all of those guys and I'm married to the last one, thank God.
Thank God.
Okay. So let's talk about women that keep doing the same, let's say, negative patterns, right? So I think we already went through this. Okay, you have more. All right. Yeah. Yes. So like the example would be keep dating the guy that cheats on you. Maybe he's not a narcissist. Maybe he's just not committed to you. Maybe he's just, and he tells you and you just don't understand, but you keep dating that type of guy and making excuses like, he'll come around, I'll change him. Mm-hmm. What about those females?
You just said like my favorite phrase is like, I'll change him, or just wait till he loves me more, just wait till he falls in love. Oh no, honey. Okay. Okay, so this is actually been on my mind a lot, and we have the perfect example of this. Bennifer. Okay.
Yay. Yes, go.
Oh my God. Like Jen and Ben. I love J-Lo. I love Ben. This is a perfect example of someone, Jennifer, J-Lo, who is so successful. Like we don't have to go through her accolades and her accomplishments. She's gorgeous. She's got it all. She could have any man she wanted at her fingertips. Yes. But why is she so bad at relationships, ladies? So a lot of people might be thinking, well, she's really good at it. Look, she got another guy within like weeks or whatever. And it's, that just tells me how unhealthy her pattern is there. So this actually is full circle. Remember you asked me from the very beginning, why should people invest in love coaching? This is why, because just because you're successful in a certain area of your life doesn't mean it'll work over in another area. It requires time, attention, effort on your part and on someone who can see your blind spots. You can't see your blind spots. Every time I see all the pictures of the Met Gala that are coming out in the last couple days, then like with Bennifer, and it's not just her, and I'm not picking on her. I hope you ladies understand that this is not about bringing anybody down. I'm not picking on her at all. I'm bringing her up as an example of like, oh shit, if it happens to J-Lo, then like, it's got to happen to me too, okay? That's all I'm doing because I'm really proud of all of her accomplishments and girl power. The thing is, J-Lo is stuck in a loop of unsuccessful love pattern and love programming. And it's obvious to me that she hasn't done any work around this, because here's the, you might be thinking, how do you know that? You have access to her calendar and her therapy and all this? No, I don't need to. It's all a pattern, okay? What I am a queen at, and I'm super proud, and I will say I'm an expert in this, I am an expert at data points, and I can connect the dots like that. In an instant, I will tell you your whole life story in 5 minutes, be like, are you psychic? It might seem like I am, because everything is a pattern, because we all have a programming. And J-Lo, the reason I know that she is stuck in this unhealthy pattern is because it is obvious to me, because her life is so public, we know that she's never single for more than 2 weeks at a time. That's sad, ladies. Okay? Why is that sad? Because she doesn't know how to be alone. A woman that doesn't know how to be alone, there's a difference between being alone and being lonely. When you know how to be alone and enjoy your own company and love taking solo trips around the world and love doing your own thing and love just sitting and reading a book and petting your cat or petting a dog or just hanging out by yourself or doing those girl brunches and spending months, if not years, as a proud single woman, you cannot be in a healthy relationship with your partner, male or female. I don't care who you are. Okay? Because that means you don't enjoy your own company. If you don't enjoy your own company, you are then, by default, bringing in someone where you're codependent. The reason J-Lo is so bad at relationships is she keeps bringing in all these men and she wants them to make her happy. So what I know by default what she's doing in the public eye, she's this Miss Strong Independent. Girls, in private, she is so needy. She's so needy and she smothers all these men. She smothers them because she hasn't done the inner work of healing her inner child and letting her know that no matter what, man or not in her life, the universe, God has got her. She's good. And I wish that one day she knows that she is woman enough and powerful enough and important enough to the world to not be defined by a man.
I see that when I look at her too. And I know I don't know her, but I see it. And I think she's dating narcissistic men that love bomb her in the beginning because she likes that. And then as soon as they're done love bombing her, they start chipping away at her confidence to make her more codependent. And then she thinks she's crazy. And then finally she blows up and replaces them with somebody else who's doing the same thing over and over.
And worst part is that she's not even looking for new ones. She went back to Ben. And I'm like, ah! So it's like, here's the thing. I go into ah mode. But the truth is, ladies, I don't judge. I don't judge. And that's why I love doing this kind of work. Because if I did judge you, I couldn't serve you. I can't help you. I don't judge because I've been there. I went back and forth 4 or 5 times with my toxic ex. So if you're thinking like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? It's just a pattern. It's just something that we need to heal, and that's okay. You're not broken. You don't need to be fixed. It's just a programming that, just like anything else, just like any app. And think of it this way, okay? This is the best way I can describe it that's so non-judgmental. And we got our phone, right? I have my, I don't even know what kind of phone this is. It's a Samsung, Android, whatever version. So I've had the phone, the physical hardware device, for about 2 years, which is already like super outdated, right? Because we have new phones every like 2 weeks, at a minimum every 6 months. But how often, ladies, are you forced, not even by your permission, to do a software update? Okay? If you keep saying, remind me later, which I do, guilty, it'll just one day shut down and be like, bitch, I'm restarting without your permission, okay? Those software updates. So think of the physical hardware device as our body. We have one body, one mind. The software updates are updates in our mind, in our unconscious mind, in our energy. That's what my coaching is. Just software updates. You don't look at your phone every time it does a software update. No. Oh my God. Sit there and wallow into like why I had to do an update and blah, blah, blah. And woe is me and sit there for weeks on end of like, oh my. No, it's just an update. You move on with whatever that update was. Same thing with the love coaching. When it is done intentionally, this isn't about, oh, let's see what happens and let's just find another guy and another guy. Just go on a date. No, I'm here to show you your pattern that you're unconsciously bringing because you wouldn't have known. A lot of you listening right now are thinking, oh, dang, I hadn't even thought about that whole J-Lo thing. I was so excited that she got back with Ben. A lot of you might be thinking that because it just seems, oh, she can have any man she wants. But if she, even with her success, can't bring that level of love in, it shows you the power of unconscious programming, which is why we have to work on it intentionally. So there's no judgment. There really is zero judgment. Girl, I'm talking to you as someone who went financially bankrupt at 25, had my quarter life crisis because of this toxic ex, took over all my financial accounts, took over my phone, wouldn't let me talk on the phone in an interview if it was a man. Okay, on the phone, he would have to listen on the other earbud. Oh, yeah. And you're thinking, Emmy, you allowed that to happen? Yeah. Was I stupid at the time? Maybe, maybe not. But what I do know is I was fulfilling a programming. I don't do that anymore. That's why I was able to go on my journey and bring in healthy love with Matt. And now I'm just spoiled as all hell. Like my man spoils me rotten. With love, abundance of time, attention, his commitment. Like, it's just a completely different energy. Why? Because I had to learn to spoil myself rotten first. I had to prioritize me, my love for myself, my self-care, my knowing that God in the universe has got me and just trusting and having that faith instead of being a Debbie Downer all the time and being all sad that this wasn't working out, that wasn't working out, and living in a state of gratitude. When you choose to find what's going right in your life, that frequency, that momentum brings in abundance of portals for more people to come into your life that have that same state of being and state of mind. Because let's face it, you don't want to bring in a partner that blames you for all the stuff going wrong in his life or vice versa. You don't want to be blaming them. When we take accountability for the fact that we are the creators of our universe and our life, oh, everything changes. Because then we know that we have the power to establish the right frequency in our body to be able to bring in whomever we choose and please to choose us as priority just as we choose ourselves.
Yes, it's so true. And I remember when I was a little kid watching Oprah and she always said, we teach people how to treat us. Mm-hmm. So you have to be responsible for how you treat yourself so that people can see your worth and you have to set your price.
Absolutely. I hear this from women all the time who want to be in a healthy relationship and they're like, oh, but I don't have time to date. Or I don't have time to go to yoga. Or I don't have time to do whatever, like things that would help them be healthy. Or they're proud of being workaholics, but then they want to be in a committed relationship with a guy and be like, why can't I just bring in a guy who's committed? Like he is committed to his job, just like you are. And they're like, oh, yeah. Commitment starts with you first, babe. And then you can attract the right. It's not the other way around. Like I get a lot of women are like, oh, yeah, I'll keep working like this until I meet someone. It's not. Yeah, you'll meet someone just as committed to his job. That's not how it works. Then you won't ever have time for each other. So we have to scale back and realize what is it that you really want for yourself. Spoil yourself, rotten girl, first. And then that energy is going to shift into bringing in healthy partners. And then you get to pick from there.
All right. So I love it. I think you are spot on. Tell us a little bit before we go about why the conclusion of a relationship is just as important as the beginning.
Ooh, yeah. So there are a lot of different types of conclusions, yes. I've had some where I needed to block the mofo from my life, like the toxic ex, because it was so easy for me to keep going back and wanting to connect with him and just, so I needed to block him from my life, block him from everything because that was not healthy. He needed to go away. But I also have some other conclusions with some men that were really good people, but they just weren't my guys. And for me to recognize that just because I'm seeing this a lot, and I think you've seen it a lot on social media too, just because you broke up with someone and they weren't your person does not mean they're a narcissist. Like that's we need to clear all that stuff up, okay? Most of the men that I've dated have not been narcissists. It's a very small percentage of them. We just talk about them more because they're the ones that suck the most. But I remember I learned how to break up properly with someone from a guy. And I'm so grateful to this guy. We actually even stayed Facebook friends for a while because there was no emotional connection there after a long time and it didn't matter. But we started dating and we dated for about two months. He's a great guy. I still have very high regards for him. And I thought things were going great until one day he came over to my place and we sat down and he was honest with me. And he's like, you know what? He's like, I really like you. I think you're great. I just don't see us really moving forward. And it's not like he didn't give us a chance. Like we went on like probably a total of 10 or 12 dates. And there wasn't anything wrong with me or anything wrong with him. We just weren't a match energetically or like really where we were in like our life's journey. Like I had just graduated from college. He was doing his PhD. Like he's some sort of like crazy cool physicist. And he wasn't a nerd at all. Like he's a very healthy masculine guy. But I so appreciate that he came over and told me in person, like, hey, I'm sure that was awkward for him. He could have literally just ghosted me or texted me or whatever, done all the mean things that a lot of guys do. But the fact that he had enough honor and courage to say, hey, this isn't really working out for me. I don't see us going, it's not about you. We're just not the right match. Was I butthurt? Yeah, I was. But I had to suck it up, buttercup. And was I emotionally still attached to him for a little while? I was for like probably a month or two. I wanted him to change his mind and to see who I was and all this stuff. And maybe he'd come back. But it didn't matter because I was able to move on. And he cut it off in such a nice, clean way that it taught me what to do moving forward. So now I teach my ladies, when you go out on these dates with these men who are great but not your match on after a first or second date, you let them know. Don't ghost people. When you ghost, you're setting that energy for other people to do that to you. So here's the best way to do a clean break, because especially if you're not dating someone, but ghosting someone is all kinds of bad. So if you go on a date, on a first or second date with someone, and you're just not feeling it for whatever reason, you don't even have to give any reasons or excuses. Please don't give any reasons or excuses. But here's what you're going to do. You're going to text this person and say, hey, I had a great time the other night. Thanks so much for the attention. Thanks for dinner, whatever it was. And then say, I wanted to let you know that I don't think we're a romantic match, but I wish you the best of luck moving forward. That's it. Notice, no apology. Don't need to apologize. No details of what is a match or what's not. All that is completely unnecessary. Why? Because they're going to want to feel the need to defend themselves and be like, but this, and I thought we had such a great time. I'd be like, 99% of the time, you're going to get a response from the guy saying, thanks so much for being honest. I wish you the best too. Oh, it's the best freaking feeling. That 1% of like the jerks that send you something nasty back, thank God you cut him loose because he was going to do that to you later. So that's why it's so important to have conscious energy, even though it's awkward. It's super awkward, ladies. Like the first few times I did it, I was like, oh, this just feels so weird because you're tempted to just want to hide. But trust me, it changes the dynamic because then you have control and power over not anyone else, but over yourself and your energy. Oh, that is honor. That is true commitment to yourself. That is respectful. So the more respectful you are to yourself and the people you're talking to and dating, the more that you're going to bring in respectful men who are of high quality, who are the right match for you.
Before we go on from that topic, I just want to say that as a professional ghoster, I'm just kidding. Yes.
I
went back years later and I'm still friends with all my exes. We're all tight. They help us move and whatever. We're all friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did ghost for a long time. But the reason why I ghosted was because I told the guy, like how you said, in person one time, and then they didn't leave and they were sobbing and I couldn't get them out of my house.
Oh, God.
It was very uncomfortable. And I'm just like, ooh, that was such a gross, uncomfortable feeling where I felt trapped in my own home. So yeah, I agree. do it by text. There's nothing wrong. I don't like it when they say, don't do it by text. You have to do it face to face. Because I'm like, you never know how they're going to respond. And they could be that 1% jerk off.
Yeah. No. And especially like the text is especially is way easier if it's like the 1 or 2 dates or like the 3 or 4 dates. Like if you've been dating someone for 1 or 2 years and you're feeling like this, then yeah, I think they deserve a face-to-face kind of conversation. Don't do that by text. But there's a lot more to it. But if you guys aren't in a relationship and you've just been doing a couple dates, text is not only okay, it is the most important way to go about it because it doesn't require a conversation because a conversation dictates that there's something that you need to explain and then they need to explain. This is not court. Nobody's giving their side and evidence of why you should keep going out. There's nothing there. It's just, if you're not feeling it, it's okay. You don't have to justify it to yourself or anyone else. So I love that you described that because that is super important of like, yeah, you don't want to get stuck in those situations.
No. And another thing about women who apologize for everything. That's one of my pet peeves. If you're like, oh, you look so pretty. It's, oh, no, I don't because of this and this. I'm just like, oh, my gosh. And guys will, like, especially really bad narcissists, will prey on girls that apologize. I see it all the time. Mm-hmm. They look for me. That's how one of my tells for a narcissist. Like, someone will be like, oh, you look so beautiful. I'm like, thank you. I know. And if they have a negative response because they wanted me to say, no, I don't, like a little submissive person, then I know that's a narcissist. And I've had guys get mad for saying thank you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's actually one of the things I work on a lot with my ladies is just owning who you are in your space and not having to apologize. Like you said, like, and a lot of women are like, I don't know how to like do it otherwise. If you're just walking by someone, I'll give you a perfect example. It drives me freaking bananas. When I go to a concert back when we were allowed to, pre-COVID, or like a show, those little tiny seats or like a game and you're like, you're going through the, you don't have to say sorry. You can say, excuse me, if you feel the need to say something. Excuse me is perfectly fine, right? And we can do a whole show just on what we do in emails and saying the sorry, and I just wanted to, but that's a whole other topic. But yes, the more we start owning compliments and not having to deflect them, super, super important. And also on adding on to what you said about like the narcissists who want to pick at you and make fun of you little by little, it's also the healthy men who are checking to see, are you owning that compliment? If you deflect that, he's going to find that very unattractive, which we are taught. It's the opposite, right? So, oh, you're not supposed to just own it. Just, yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Like that to a healthy man is like, oh, she knows he's sexy. A healthy man wants you to know that you're sexy because that's what turns him on more about you. Your inner and outer radiance and your playfulness with yourself and you being able to just take life in stride, that's what lights him up. That's what he's like, ooh, like she's just, there's something about her.
I do think that's the biggest test of a healthy guy, how they accept that, how they respond to that.
That's major. I like that. I like that you brought that up.
So tell us about your Inner Circle program and you have a VIP Soulmate Love program. I want to know about each of these and who each program is good for.
Yes. So I have the two programs. The Inner Circle group program is for the ladies who are looking for soulmate love, but don't have the time to go into an accelerator program with me. So the Inner Circle program, you get group Sacred Sisterhood. So you're in a Facebook group. You get weekly coaching with myself and my head coach, Amanda, where we go into womb healing and ancestral trauma healing, like a whole bunch of really cool stuff. And so you have weekly coachings there and you have access to my soulmate modules for lifetime access. So in there, you get to go through the whole process. So we start with self-care all the way down to the module of dating, where we walk you through, we hold your hand throughout the whole process, and you're in this in community with all these other women as well. Okay, and that's my Inner Circle group program. And this is only for women who want what I call soulmate love. Whatever version of that means to you, that's what I mean. I'm not here to just show you how to get a boyfriend. That's the easy part. Like we're talking about like that epic legendary love that your heart and your soul yearns for. Okay. That's what I yearn for. Not everybody yearns for that. And that's okay. But if your soul is yearning for that and that calls to your attention, then, you know, we can talk a little bit more. My VIP program is for those same women, but the women who have said, I'm all in. Yes, I want to be part of the group, and you still get sacred sisterhood with all the other ladies. However, you get unlimited time with me. So you get one-on-one coaching sessions, plus you get me as your wingwoman. What does that mean? That means that you have direct access to my phone number on WhatsApp. I'll do audio coaching and I'll help you on your dates. Like before your date, we'll actually pick out your outfit together. I'll make sure that we go through all your profile together. Like I will actually help you look through profiles of the men and show you what you're not seeing and be like, oh no, honey, look at this. And oh my God. So you get me as your direct love fairy godmother. And I'm in your life for a whole year minimum. Why? Because love, proper healthy love takes some time. And I don't like to rush people. So I don't do these short programs where you're just like, oh, in it for a month or two and be like, okay, bye, have fun, sayonara. Why? Here's why, ladies. My program is different and why I've become very successful. Because of how much pain I went through in this and feeling abandoned in so many courses, I changed mine. Mine is a very holistic approach. So we bring in spirituality, we bring emotional stuff, we bring in health healing, we bring in money stuff. So we talk about financial abundance and clear a lot of that stuff to bring in more money. We talk about career, talk about like my program is more of a life coaching program, all bundled under the guise of love. Here's the difference about what I do versus other courses is that I promise you, you stay in the course at no extra cost until you meet your soulmate. You get to stay in the live coaching sessions weekly and in the VIP until you meet your soulmate. You're not getting kicked out. Why do I do that? Because I went through a lot of courses that when I needed them the most, right? It's yeah, you need help setting up your profile, but what about when you're actually dating people? And then, oh, the course is over. Have fun. Bye. It's now I don't know what to do. Like I went on this second date. Do I like him enough for the third one? Like, I don't know. And I felt so hurt. Like a lot of us already have abandonment issues and abandonment wounds. And then to feel abandoned on a course on top of it, oh, that would break. That broke my heart. So I completely changed that. And ladies, stay with me until you say you're done. And a lot of my ladies, here's the funny part, a lot of my ladies who have already met their soulmates, now they're staying on board for VIP coaching to maintain the relationship, or they bring on their couple. So now we're doing couples coaching because I do that as well. So what's funny is that you realize that this is an ongoing learning because you're not broken. I'm not here to fix you. I'm here to be that your guide. Like your car beeps at you when you have another car's coming and you can't see that blind spot. You're still a good driver, but the car is a little helper. That's me. I'm your little helper. That's off to the side. Be like, hey babe, you hadn't seen this part yet. Let's address that. And you're like, oh man, I didn't know that. So it's not about, oh, there's something wrong with you. Let's fix. We're going to get rid of a lot of the stuff that no longer serves you. We're going to do software updates. And then we're going to go in. And the whole point is to have fun and be playful and raise your energy and your frequency. A lot of the things that happens with my clients is that while we're doing the love stuff and the love frequency, they start making a lot more money in their business, in whatever it is that they're just money comes out of nowhere. Why? Because love and money are intrinsically tied and they naturally, that frequency and that momentum, it will immediately just raise. So that's how, those are some good signs that soulmate love is coming your way when you're like, oh man, like I just made all that money and that was so easy. I didn't have to work for it. Everything's tied together.
Awesome. And can you tell everyone where to find you online, which social media platforms you're the most active on?
Yes. So the best way to find me is on Instagram, and email is the best way to get through to my assistant. We have a filtration process, especially for the VIP program. My website, you can learn all about the inner circle group there. That's dualityofathena.com. And my email is emmy@dualityofathena.com. And if you're interested in the group program, you can learn about it on the website and you can buy it there directly. If you're interested in the VIP program, it is interview only and invite only because I do have a wait list and I only bring on clients who are committed to their level of success and growth. But I look forward to hearing from you and learning more about what everyone is up to and how I can help.
So before we go, I also know you have an ebook. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And is that a freebie?
Yes, yes. I can either send it to you here. We can put it in the show notes, whatever you decide. Like, people can get it for free on my website. It is a freebie. It walks you through, basically, it's like an intro to all of my modules. So it is the acronym Soulmate. So it's quick. I think it's a total of like 10 pages. It's just to give you an introduction of like my style of coaching, what it is that I do and how I share this information. And there's also YouTube videos in there for a free recode, which is where we start installing the new information and removing all the stuff, like the new software upgrade.
Awesome. I mean, it has been a pleasure and I love your style and I love how you approach relationships. Mm-hmm. Very much aligned with what I believe. Okay. You always love people who agree with you.
Thank you so much. I loved all your questions. Love your audience. Love what you're doing here. Any way I can support you, your audience, your people, let me know, because this is amazing. And the more we share about just uplifting our souls and uplifting everyone on the planet, that's what we need a lot more of right now. And us, those of us who are light workers and who wants to change lives and impact lives, like, I'm all about it, sister, right? That's us being on that same frequency. That's magic right there. That's true magic.
Thank you again for your time. And I will put everything in the show notes.
Thank you.
I had an episode a while back with Dr. Mona Fahoum of Feminescence, and we spoke about Feminescence, Maca Harmony, and their Maca products. And if you're a woman who's ever had hormonal imbalances, if you're trying to come off the birth control pill, or even if you're going through menopause, this is a natural way to help ease that transition and to help balance your hormones. There's nothing quite like it, so go to feminescence.com, enter code KAT15, KAT15, for 15% off any of their single pack products. And definitely go check out the episode. Just search for Mona Fahoum on my podcast and listen. You won't regret it. Thank you for listening to the show. Please show your support for the podcast by leaving a 5-star review. Learn more about the show and what I have to offer you at katkatibi.com. Consider being a part of the new Patreon, where episodes are ad-free and you'll find extra bonus content. Send a voicemail question or email me. Check the show notes for more information. This podcast is for informational merrymakings and metaphysical purposes only. Statements and views are not medical advice. This podcast, including KatKatibi, disclaim any adverse effects by the use of information you may have heard. Opinions of guests are totally their own. This podcast does not endorse statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications, credibilities, or sanity. Individuals may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to on the podcast. If you think you have a medical problem, consult with a licensed medical physician, not just the spirit of your ancestors while on ayahuasca.